It is a joy for me to be able to come before you tonight with the Word of God and be able to preach the unsearchable riches that He has for us. And so I've been looking forward since Pastor Macedo asked me on Wednesday night to preach, been looking forward to this opportunity. And I'm in the process, as I mentioned before, going through the cataract surgery. And so things may not be able to see everything quite as well as you might hope you can see, but we'll go forward with that. One correction I do need to make, we were scheduled to be next Sunday down at Mount Pleasant, and actually that has been changed. The church has decided they want to have an installation ceremony, and so making arrangements for that, and it looks like it'll be probably about the 25th before we actually move down to Mount Pleasant. And so you got to put up with us a little bit longer, and at any rate, it won't be that much longer. Wednesday night, was it Wednesday night? Brother Kenny asked for prayer requests, and I think it was Brother Kenny, and I mentioned that going through this cataract surgery, I've praised the Lord for the 47 years of marriage that God had given us. That was our anniversary date, and explained that now with my one good eye, they've worked on this one already, my one good eye, I couldn't believe how beautiful my wife looked. And so with that in mind, I can't wait to get the other one done tomorrow with two good eyes, how good she's going to look to me. And so I'm looking forward to that time. One blessing is that on Monday, after the surgery, went back home. And that evening, I realized that I couldn't see through the lens in this. And so I popped the lens out of that side. And so I'm looking forward to tomorrow afternoon, popping the other lens out, and it'll be so much easier to wear these glasses with no lens in them. Or not. I'm going to ask you to turn with me tonight for a message to the book of Joshua, and we're going to go to Joshua chapter 6. You may remember that the last time that I preached here, it was from Joshua chapter 5. At that point in time, the people of God had just crossed over, and they were preparing for the conquest of the promised land. Their first stop was Gilgal. The word Gilgal, that name, literally means a rolling. And in chapter 5 and verse number 9, it said that the Lord said to Joshua, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you." Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. It was a place of rolling away the reproach. There had been things that had been allowed to slide as Israel had gone through the wilderness experience, and we looked at the necessity in preparing for the conquest of the land that God had given to His people. They needed to prepare to follow after the presence of the Lord, following the ark as they crossed over the Jordan River. They needed to resolve the issue of leadership. Joshua met the captain of the Lord's host, the Lord Himself, who was the leader of God's people. We saw that they had to establish a testimony in arriving at that place of the rolling away of the reproach, and they set up altars out in the midst of the Jordan and on the other side of Jordan, those altars as a testimony that they'd be able to point back to and to say, remember, this is what God did and how He delivered us and brought us across on dry ground. We looked at the personalizing of their commitment, that up close and personal ceremony of circumcision for these that were now adults, and the removing of that which could invite infection and those kinds of things, celebrating their redemption. They began again for the first time the Passover since all of these years, and they modified their diet, and for the first time they began to eat solid food, nourishment that would strengthen them as we are to partake of what God has given to strengthen us. And so they were prepared for the conquest. And now we come to the first, in chapter 6, we come to the first enemy stronghold that they had to take. That was the city of Jericho. And tonight I preach on the subject of how God's people can overcome enemy strongholds. And I say that because God wants us to know how to do it. And he showed Israel how to do it, how they could take that city, that major place, that major obstacle, crossing over the Jordan River, and there was that enemy stronghold. And God wanted them to take it, wanted them to know how to take and to win that battle for that city. May I ask you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? Joshua chapter 6, we're going to read the first 21 verses. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, and thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, and then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so did they 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same matter 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are within her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can come this evening to look into your word, to learn and understand how it is that we can overcome strongholds, that we must face to have victory, Lord, to possess that which you intend for us to have, to be what you intend for us to be. We pray your blessing. I ask for your help as I speak this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Is my microphone picking up? Are you all hearing me? Okay. Must be my glasses. I can't hear anything. As we look at our passage tonight, the first thing that I want to draw to our attentions, and a very simple outline, I think, tonight, but first thing I draw to your attention is that God's enemy's stronghold seemed invincible. The city of Jericho, it seemed absolutely invincible. Back in verse number 1, we read that now Jericho was straightly shut up. Now, that was to keep the enemy out, but it assured their security. The gate of the city, and there was a gate there. We learned that back with Rahab and the two spies that had gone there. The gates of the city were shut. Nobody would come and go. They were in security. The way the city of Jericho is laid out, it's on a hilltop, up on top of the hill, the crown of the hill. You have to go up to come to the city walls. It was seemingly an invisible or an invincible place. I've read that it was probably the largest and the most fortified city in all of Cana, a very great city. And we find repeated mentions of the city of Jericho prior to Israel ever arriving there. There were 12 times in the books, or the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, 12 different references to the city of Jericho. Knowing it was there, knowing that would be the first obstacle they had to face, this city seemed just to absolutely invincible. We read that when God had Moses climb up on Mount Nebo, just before he would pass away, that God allowed Moses to look out into the promised land, the only city that's brought to our attention is the city of Jericho. Invincible. To the point where in Numbers 13 and verse number 28, the 12 spies had gone into the promised land. They had seen the land. They looked it over. 10 of those spies, when they returned back, here's what they said concerning that promised land, explaining why it was that they thought they couldn't attack and conquer and win victory in the promised land. Here's what they said. This is Numbers 13:28. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And this was the strongest city in that whole Canaan property, enough to cause 10 out of 12 to say, we cannot take it. What an invincible city. What difficulty. The walls of that city, they had there are actually two walls, an outer wall. The outer wall that was 6 feet wide, made of mud bricks, raised up to a height of 30 feet. And then a space between that outer wall and the inner wall, and that inner wall was 12 feet wide. Again, 30 feet high. And then we know that on top of that height of 30 feet, there were houses built. We read that Rahab's house was built upon that. They laid timbers across the two walls and built upon it. And so not only the height of the walls, but the houses that were there, an invincible city. And how would Israel be able to destroy that, overcome that, when they had the Iraqi war? I remember the campaign that they waged and seeing some of that on television, and our son was in the Middle East at that point in time. And they called it the campaign, the opening days, the campaign of shock and awe because of all the firepower that was brought to bear upon those cities in Iraq and to bring about the surrender. But as we look at the Word of God, we realize that Israel did not have that kind of a possibility. They didn't have, as our pastor mentioned this morning, the M1 Abram tanks. They didn't have the Apache helicopters. They didn't have the jet fighter planes and the bombs to drop upon them and the cannons and all that would be necessary to take a city locked up, straightly shut up, closed up, with high walls. Matter of fact, I doubt that Israel even had the weapons of war of that day, the catapults or whatever it would take to kind of to breach a city of that magnitude. And about the only way we find that cities were destroyed back then was by siege, by encircling and closing them off and trying to starve them, which would take months at a time, or perhaps even years to starve them out. We know there was an oasis in the city of Jericho. And it just seems like it could not be done. How do we apply that? Well, we look at, now this was about or concerning God's people corporately. We can apply that individually, but corporately. A church that loves the Lord, people that love the Lord, that want to serve the Lord. Are there not strongholds that must be overcome by Victory Baptist Church? Strongholds that we need to have the victory over? A permanent place to meet? We don't have it. Not at this point. A permanent pastor, and thank God for Brother Macedo and the ministry, the wonderful ministry and the preaching and all that he's doing. But there are major obstacles that would prevent us, Victory Baptist Churches, taking possession of all that God wants it to have and wants it to be, things that are just seem to be impossible to overcome. We don't see the growth that we want to see, not yet. And we have people that are moving off and people going up to Alaska for 6 months and people going down to take churches in other places and all kinds of things that are at work, factors that are at work. What are we going to do? How are we going to overcome those kinds of things? We're in competition, if you would. In competition with churches. They claim to be churches and they're more of an entertainment center. More of a place simply to give people whatever they want, whatever they desire, let them come. We'll give them a message, health and wealth and prosperity. We'll give them whatever they want to get them to come in and to find people that are concerned about truth and seeking after truth. These are major obstacles. These are strongholds of the enemy that we have to overcome to go forward, to do what God wants us to do as His people. And so we look at these things. We look at a godless and anti-God world system that we're living in. We look at false religions. We look at educational systems. We look at the court systems of this world, the political factors and political decisions going on. And how will the people of God enter in and take possession and be what God wants them to be? That's what we're talking about. It seems to be just about impossible. So what do? We give up. We go back home. We say it can't be done. We have to change and compromise. And the answer is no. All we've got to do is get God involved in it. Allow Him to set the plan. And so looking as we look at that stronghold of the enemy, we realize that God wants us to know that they can be overcome so that we can enter in and receive all and be all that God wants us to be. The second thing I bring to your attention is that God's plan for overcoming the stronghold was clearly communicated. Isn't that a blessing to see and understand? If you would look with me for a moment, chapter 6, and God begins to speak in verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And he goes on to explain how to do that. He clearly communicated. Now, here's how my mind runs. Verse number 2, the Lord said unto Joshua, see. Joshua was a man at this point in time somewhere in the area of 80 years old. The Bible tells he died when he was 110. The events of the book of Joshua took about 30 years. That would have made him about 80 years of age. I read that C, and I thought, oh, he's already been down to the eye doctor to get his cataracts removed. But God knew he could look and see. And what he was seeing, a city straight up, or straightly shut up, a city that was in fear, a city, though they were powerful and protected, yet God was able to overcome. And God said, see, I'll give it to you. I've already given it to you. What a blessing to know that the Lord, when he gets involved, when we follow his plan, and he had a plan. I can see in my mind Joshua, before he came to this point that the Lord was explaining everything to him, Joshua, his mind whirling, thinking, how are we going to attack the city of Jericho? How can we take that? When the spies come back and we go forth, and I can see the spies perhaps coming and saying, well, one of them would say, well, I know what we've got to do. We've got to build a bunch of ladders. And the other would say, no, we got to get some ropes with hooks on them and throw them over the walls and climb up those ropes. And one plan after another, and the head of each of the tribes presenting his plan. And then God speaks up. He said, I'll give it to you. It's a free gift. He was saying, it's not your battle. This is my battle. Let me show you how it's done. Here, let me tell you how you can do it, what your responsibility, what the requirements on your part are, and I will do this for you. And God begins to lay out for his people the requirements. He gave the recipients, are explained here. The Lord spoke to Joshua. Down in verse number 6, Joshua goes and speaks to the priests, tells them what to do. I need seven of you with seven trumpets and going before the Ark of the Covenant and the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant following after. And God laying it out because he wanted everybody to know. And Joshua spoke to the priest in verse number 7. He went and spoke to the people, the other people that were there. And it was so clearly laid out, step by step. What a wonderful thing that God lays out how we can have victory in his word. He communicates it. His plan. He shows us his plan for our lives, how we can live for him, how we can do what God wants us to do if we just follow his plan. Allow him to make the decisions. And so what we see is requirements here. The first thing I see, was it to overcome those strongholds, the first thing is that there has to be faith to fully follow God's plan. Faith to follow, fully follow God's plan. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, it says that by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. They began. God said, here's how to do it. He said, you're going to circle 7 times. And after the 7 days, by faith, they were walking by faith, and then it came into sight as the walls came down, as they gave that great cry. And these folks were determined. We're going to follow God's plan. They rejected Joshua's plan and the spies' plan and the leaders of every tribe, every plan, every other plan set aside to say, no, we're going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to follow his plan. And so he said, I have, in verse 2, I have given into thine hand Jericho. It was to be a free gift. The simple requirement was faith to claim it. He's given it to us. Here's what he wants us to do to be able to have it, partake of it. Look down to verse 16. Verse 16, the latter part, it says, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Past tense. God's already done it. And what were the odds? As they went to battle, as from all that we can tell reading it, for Jericho, the inhabitants of Jericho, 100% casualty, not a soul escaped, not even the animals escaped. As far as we can tell for Israel, not a soul died. That's the Lord fighting the battle. And they had faith to allow him. For Karen and I, as we've sought for a ministry, sought for a church to pastor, I see how this principle of having faith to fully follow the Lord's, God's plan, I see how that's worked out in our life. We had our plan all worked out in our mind, or I did at least, I don't know about Karen. Plan all worked out in my mind. We wanted to find a church that had a good number of members, members of varied ages, all the different ages represented. Wanted a church within an hour's drive of our little house here in Greenville and our family here in Greenville. We wanted a church that had a reasonable full-time salary so that I could give myself to the ministry. And a church that had a pastorium so housing wouldn't be a problem. I had it all laid out here. Lord, here's what I want. And Lord, please give that to us. And as we prayed, and God brought different churches to our attention, we made application. And First Church came up, and one church came up, and they had a really good salary. They had a beautiful pastorium. We went and visited, and lo and behold, they chose somebody else. Went to another church, and that other church, they didn't have a pastorium, but they gave a nice salary and good folks, and looked like a pretty good deal, and we didn't get the vote in that church. That wasn't the Lord's plan. And one after another, one 14 hours away, we didn't want that one, and nothing seemed to line up. Pastor Macedo said, well, I've got a friend that he needs somebody to take his church. He's 82 years old. Church was a little church, not very many people. First Sunday I preached there, about 25 in attendance. It wasn't an hour away, it was 3 hours away. And didn't have a pastorium, didn't have a full-time salary. And when I saw that, my instinct was, Lord, this is not reasonable. Lord, we can't do this. Lord, I have to give all of my time working to try to provide for our needs and still try to pastor that church. With a little bit of time, as we prayed, God showed me, no, Don, that's my plan. That's my plan. Give yourself to it. And so that little church had their vote and came back to us and said, we're offering you the call to extend the call for you to come. And we responded. Father, that was on a Monday. I responded on Tuesday. He called me back. Pastor called me back. And we had said we'd take the church, knowing there'd be difficulties. He called back. And he said, Brother Winch, are you sure you want this church? And I said, Brother Hatcher, we know this is where God wants us to come. We would be out of God's will if we refuse to take this church. We're coming. Since that time, I want you to know that the Lord's at work, and we just got word this last week. They're getting ready to build a pastorium right on the property. And we see God's plan working out, and we want to be committed, and all of us ought to be committed to follow fully after God's plan. And He lays it out for us what His plan is as we seek to follow after Him. I look again, the requirements, faith to follow after His plan. Not only that, but men armed for battle. That's a requirement. Look with me, verse number 7. And he's talking now about what they're going to do circling that city. And he says, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Verse number 9. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpet. Verse number 13, the latter part. And the armed men went before them. And time after time after time, there is reference that those that were marching, those that were to be used of God to bring about, to overcome that stronghold, were those that were armed for battle. In Joshua 4, verse 13, it tells us there were about 40,000 prepared for war, passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plain of Jericho. 40,000. 40,000 men that would encircle that city. And you know, that 40,000, that sounds like a big number, but you know, there were approximately 2 million Jews that were there that crossed over the Jordan River. You realize that that's only 40,000 out of 2 million. That's only 2% of God's people were prepared for battle. It would be sufficient, but I can't help but wonder how it is that men and women and even youth, the young people of that day, knowing that they were about to enter into the enemy territory, knowing that there would be battle after battle, how come it is that they hadn't prepared themselves, gone out and sought for a sling or a bow and arrow or sought for a javelin or some kind of an instrument, a sword or spear or whatever it would take to go to battle? Because the principle here is that God uses armed men and armed women, those that are prepared for battle. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to overcome his strongholds. It tells us in Ephesians 6:13, wherefore, take unto yourself the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Arm ourselves. In Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we prepare ourselves, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God that we use to thrust and to jab and to pierce, and the Holy Spirit takes that. It's His weapon. And how few, sad to say, how few are prepared for battle. Prepared to go in and fight the battle. In 1 Peter 3:15 it says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. To be ready to give an answer, it takes the Word of God. It takes preparation. It takes the armament that God offers unto us. And how few, and I say this to my own shame and perhaps to yours too, how few of us are prepared as God would want us to be able to overcome the strongholds of Satan. Strongholds of the enemy. And I wonder how many strongholds are still there because we do not go into the Word of God and meditate upon it and seek to understand it and grow thereby to be prepared to give that answer and to present the message of salvation, the message of Christ to those that are without Him. And how many strongholds are still standing because we have simply not prepared ourselves for the battle. God uses armed men to overcome enemy strongholds. Again, I look at those requirements and I see that there was to be a proper order. Verses 8 and 9, if you look at those verses, it lays it out. It lays it out. The large contingent of armed men would go first of all, following them, 7 priests with trumpets, blowing the trumpets as they would march around the city. And following those trumpets, those priests with trumpets, the ark itself following, and then behind them, the rear guard. Those were armed men, no doubt, as well, because they were guards, but they were there following after, and there was a proper order that they were to follow after. Every individual doing that which was their task, that which the Lord had shown them, that which they had understood that they should be doing. Proper order. And how important that is, that every one of us willing to fight the battle and to get in to fight the battle, get involved in doing what we have received of the Lord to do for our part. Because there are children needing caring for, and others to be invited, and others to seek to encourage and help and pray for and lift up, and all kinds of things that we can be doing to be involved in the battle. Because there are strongholds that must be overcome. I look again, and not only we have that faith to follow fully after God's plan, and men armed for battle in proper order, but notice also the requirement. is to walk in unity with the brethren. To walk in unity with the brethren. That city of Jericho only provided a space of about 8 or 9 acres. And for the first 6 days, they would walk around the city, march around the city. Don't you know they all had to come to realization to overcome this stronghold, looking at those high walls and knowing the double strength of those walls. If we're going to overcome that stronghold, we've all got to go in the same direction. They couldn't have some going this way and some going that way. We're walking in unity with their brethren. Because corporately they realized there was a task that was too important to not to follow after and to do their part and to maintain that order and to walk in that unity with their brethren. All heading the same direction, all having the same desire. All arriving back at the same destination. They would go around once and then go and lodge and wait till the next day and then go again. There was a discipline involved. And there was a concerted effort to be able to work together to accomplish. There would be none that were to be ran over. None that would be pushed out of the way. Every person following after, determined to walk in harmony and unity with those that were around them. 1969, I went into the Army, went to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri for my basic training, and my father was always disappointed I didn't go into the Navy, and as I look back later, I'm disappointed too I didn't go to the Navy. But while we were there, they teach you to march, and our company, Company E, there at Fort Leonard Wood, they gave us our rifles, and thankfully didn't have any bullets in them at the time. But they teach you to present arms and then order arms, which means you've got your weapon coming down, the stock of it coming out here, and you've got that. And forward march, and you start to march. And our drill instructor was there, and that drill instructor, he was seemed to be kind of an ornery guy as far as I was concerned. I made the mistake going in the wintertime. I hate the cold weather. He wouldn't let me wear my hat down over my ears, and it was miserable. But I remember one day, our company was training, marching, practicing. Another company was on the same parade ground, and they too were marching, and they had their drill instructor, and we're all in the same army. We're all preparing. That was the time of the Vietnam War, all preparing for service and for all the duty, and these were our brethren, and the other soldiers, and our company was ordered to go forward marching, carrying those weapons, the butt of the weapons sticking out. And the other DI, the other drill instructor, was there, and he was down the other end of the field, and he directed his company to come towards us. And I, as we were walking along, I saw that, hey, they're kind of heading right towards us, and we're kind of going that way. And my drill instructor wouldn't give, and that other drill instructor wouldn't give. We came, and we were shoulder to shoulder crossing, the one group going this way and one group going that way. And I began to hear, as the butts of our rifles were sticking out, I heard this click, 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 and the butts of our rifles butting against them, and every now and then, click, click, ouch, click, 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 ouch, don't do that. And I won't repeat the words that I heard, but I thought to myself, now wait a minute, they're not our enemy. Why should we be trying to harm them, and why didn't our drill instructor have the wisdom to turn us around and head in another direction where we wouldn't be competing against and causing harm to the work of the military of the United States Army. Walking in harmony. How we need that in our churches. Walking in love. Caring for one another. Determined to go forward because the object before us, overcoming the enemy strongholds, is so important, so vital, so necessary for our taking possession of what God wants us to be and to do. And how important it is within a local church to have that kind of a spirit, walking in unity with our brethren. And I look again, I look at Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can we not agree that our Lord is worthy of our unity? Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And the purpose of those men is for the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints can carry on the work of the ministry. And it is with the goal of the edifying of the body of Christ. And it goes on to say in verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's why we get together, and that's why the pastor preaches, and that's why our Sunday school teachers teach, and that's why we encourage one another to read the Word of God, that we might come to that point of unity. And the body of Christ coming to a perfect man, and how that is necessary. If we intend to overcome those strongholds, I look again, and not only that walking in unity, but maintaining the presence of the Lord. Look with me let's go back for a moment to Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I might add on to that verse, for then thou shalt overcome the enemy's stronghold. As you meditate upon the Word of God, what we find in our passage, as we look at our passage, we find that in the midst of that caravan, that body of soldiers marching around, right in the midst of it, was the ark of the Lord, the place of God's presence, and the necessity of maintaining that presence inside the ark of the covenant, the ark of the Lord. There were three principal things that were found there. There was, first of all, the two tablets of stone, representative of the Word of God. And Joshua, he understood and knew that he was to meditate therein day and night. It was to be a part of his life. And so as they would go out to march and to encircle and to come around that enemy city, that stronghold, they had the Word of God right there in their presence, where the Lord would, where the offering was made unto the Lord, where the Lord would receive those sacrifices made, there was the representation of the Word of God. Not only the two tablets of stone, but the pot of manna was there. So the Word of God and the provision of God. 40 years in the desert, can you imagine 40 years and not being able to run once to the grocery store, down to the Walmart or whatever it is to find something else to eat, but you always had something to eat? God provided step by step. God's provision. And not only that, but Aaron's rod was there, the rod that had budded. And we see there the responsibility of the servant of God. Others wanted to take upon themselves the responsibility that God had given to Moses and Aaron. But that was responsibility God had committed to them. And that rod that had budded was the proof thereof. And there the ark was, with the people of God, those men going out to battle, knowing the right in our midst. Right there, right behind the trumpet sounding, there is the ark of God, the very presence of God, with the Word of God that was there, and with the provision of God reminding us that we can count upon Him, and the responsibility for the servant of God that was represented there. We can do this because God is with us. And they went out. And don't you know that if we want to overcome the enemy's stronghold, we must keep these things in the center of our lives as well. To remember that God will take care of us. He can provide for us. And I need to know Him better, and I need to love Him better, and I need to follow Him more faithfully. God, let me enter into your word this day. And as we look at that, we realize that they circled 7 days. And I believe that that 7 days was no mistake to remind us that every day of the week, from Sunday to Monday to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day of the week, that we keep God's presence in our life, and we do it through his word and remembrance of his provision and taking responsibility for as his servants. Verse number 8 of our text, it says the 7 priests, look at this with me, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and look what it says, passed on before the Lord. It does not say the ark. They passed on before the Lord. That ark, that was a representation of the Lord himself. They passed before the Lord. Those trumpets going forth and the armed men before them. That was the Lord following after and in their midst and coming up behind them. And the very presence of the Lord. And may we remember that and maintain his presence and realizing day by day, oh Lord, I need to begin the day with you. And I want you, Lord, to be with me. And I want you to help me. And I look to you and I count upon you, maintaining his presence. When I look again, the requirements, what were the requirements? Well, the sounds were under control. The sounds were under control. If you look with me concerning the trumpet was to be blowing. Literally, that is the Jubilee trumpet. And that Jubilee trumpet, the first time we find that is back in the book of Exodus, chapter number 19, verse 13, just before the giving of the law, the initial giving of the Ten Commandments. And with that designation, that first occurrence of that trumpet that was used here, it says in Exodus 19, verse 13, when the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. The people of God would be invited to come up, not to touch the mount, not to enter upon it, but come up around the mount where the law was to be given. And verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. That was the sense of that trumpet sounding. You're going to meet with God. It was used in a sense of judgment. If anybody got too close and came and touched the mount, they would be destroyed. But at the same time, it was announcing the arrival of the king. And Moses would go up to meet with him there upon the mount. And as Israel was circling about, it was an announcement. This was not a battle. It was a ceremony, if you would, a religious ceremony announcing the arrival of the king, the Lord himself coming. And those trumpets sounding continually until finally a long blast would be given. And how vital it was that these folks in that caravan circling around, that they were listening for the sound of the trumpet. They had to listen. And don't you know, we are listening today, and we should be listening and waiting and watching for the trumpet to sound, knowing the day will come when we'll be caught up together to be with the Lord forever in the air. And so we prepare ourselves, and in the meantime, we work to pull down those strongholds, to overcome them, to defeat them. And so we see the trumpets, not only the trumpets, but the voices sounds under control. And there was, look with me in verse number 10, there was silence. Verse number 10, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. Then you'll shout. Not any noise made, no word uttered. This morning in Sunday school, Brother Kenny spoke about the reality that sometimes we talk too much. I think he's right. And I think these that were concentrating all their attention upon that enemy stronghold, listening, had they been talking, and just chattering and perhaps gossiping or murmuring or complaining or giving some sob story. And if they had been all occupied in those kinds of things, they would have never heard the trumpet. And so Joshua simply said, no words spoken. May we be careful that our words are carefully chosen and not excessive, and that we don't get into that whole idea of criticism and gossip and complaining and murmuring, so that we might listen for the trumpet. Look in verse 5, that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the shout went up, and what happened? And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And it did. And all they had to do was run up, go up. The walls fell outward. Archaeology confirms to us there were four, I think there were at least four, maybe five or six different foundations that archaeologists have found. The fourth one, called the Jericho D, the fourth one, they say specifically that the walls were made of mud bricks, that they all fell outward, that there is indication as Israel set fire to the city once they were in there, and the indication of charred timbers and red mud bricks that were bonded by the fire. And it's so obvious. That was God at work. A plan totally irrational. Take the city just by walking around it, just by one loud shout? Impossible. Yes, it is. Except for that was God's plan. And when God plans it, and when God does it, and we follow His plan, it will not fail, my friends. And that, and those obstacles that seem so impossible to overcome, those strongholds that we can't seem to tear down, as we walk together, we'll have the victory. We'll find a building. We'll have, at some point in time, the pastor, the permanent pastor, and we'll have the victory, because the world is out there. They're trying to destroy our homes and our families and our children and all that's right and good, and we must fight against it. Armed for battle. We follow God's plan and we'll have the victory. May we be encouraged to stay in the battle, to fight the fight, and do it God's way. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening for the opportunity of looking into your word. And Father, thank you for the instruction that you make so clearly visible to us. Help us, Lord, that we might follow after you, your plan, allowing you to direct us, trusting you, Father, having faith to follow after. We thank you now, Father, for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.